Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and this doesn't sound like a particularly festive seasonal piece of holiday music to me, but then I'm not a 13th century Italian. If I were, well, I'd be long dead, wouldn't I? But I'd also probably feel very differently about this piece, because it's one of the laude, the medieval songs of praise, that were popular throughout the year, but especially at Christmas time. Now, the New York-based early music group Lionheart is bringing the oldest surviving collection of these songs to the Metropolitan Museum's Medieval Sculpture Hall tonight, where they'll perform in front of the museum's Neapolitan creche. Lionheart's Richard Porterfield put together the program for tonight's event and joins us here in our Soundcheck studio. Hi, Rick.
Hi, John.
So would a song like this have been the 13th century version of Jingle Bells? Would people have been arguing about how many times they had to listen to Ave Mater during
probably
the Christmas
not.
Season?
No, probably not. This was this particular piece is actually a Latin-texted piece. And it's a praise to the Virgin Mary. I suppose some people might get a little tired of all that praising of the Virgin Mary that was going on then, because there was so much of it.
That's what the word means, right? Lauda, a song of praise.
Yes, a lauda is a song of praise, exactly. And so as you mentioned, there were songs of praise for Christmas. There were songs of praise for Easter and all throughout the whole year, just as there were carols in England also for feasts and events all throughout the year.
Now, were these, you know, purely, I mean, the texts, as you say, were sacred, you know, praise of the Virgin and Jesus and whatnot.
Sacred,
but were they also kind of secular?
Exactly. Now, if you want to blame someone for all this Christmas music, then I think you have to really blame Saint Francis of Assisi, whose project it was to take the events of the church liturgy and kind of bring them out into the public square, so that the creche, the idea of making a creche, of kind of reenacting the birth of Jesus, that's his idea, and bringing out into popular devotion themes that had belonged to the liturgy and within the church, bringing them out into the public. That poor
listener earlier who said that if he heard Trans-Siberian Orchestra one more time, he was going to go postal. The person he wants to blame is Saint Francis of Assisi
I think Saint Francis is partially responsible, perhaps not entirely.
All right, we're speaking with Rick Porterfield of the group Lionheart. The sextet is performing this collection called Il Laudaria di Cortona. So this is a collection of lauda, these praise songs.
Yes.
From Cortona is a town or a manuscript?
Cortona is a town in Italy. It's not far from Rome. And in their library, they have this manuscript, which dates from somewhere between 1250 and 1300. And it is the earliest document of this tradition that continues all through the later Middle Ages and even into modern times of these devotional songs in the Italian language.
And you write in the program for tonight's concerts that this is also the oldest surviving group of Italian poem texts.
That's correct. So it's the earliest Italian poetry as well as the earliest musical document of this.
Wow. So it's pretty important stuff for something that sounds fairly obscure.
You know? And it's beautiful.
let's hear some. This song is Cum Jubilo d'Amore, sung by the group Lionheart.
Thank you.
That's the sextet Lionheart, and some Christmas music from 13th century Italy. Cum jubilo d'amore is from this collection Il Laudaria di Cortona, the laude, the praise songs of Cortona.
Actually, John, this piece is a 16th century piece in the tradition. So the Laudario of Cortona is the first layer of the tradition for which we have any documents.
Okay, so that was the first piece, with the Ave Mater, and now this is taking us a few centuries later.
This is taking us later into the 16th century, and this particular piece is written by a wonderful composer named Innocentius Damonis, and he published in 1508 in Venice a collection of these polyphonic lauda that are in this lush, beautiful 16th century kind of musical language. And unfortunately, we know almost nothing else about this person. He was a monk.
We just have this one piece.
We have this one collection of pieces, of which this is just one example.
So when you get to the 16th century, you can read that music and you guys can just stand around and sing it. You know, it's just, there's the music, do your stuff.
Yes, yes.
The 13th century music, though, you guys have to do a little detective work.
Yes, we do. And fortunately, we're not alone. There are musicologists who bring these manuscripts to light and study them. But the musical notation of the 13th century that was used for the Laudario di Cortona tells you two things. It tells you what notes in what order and what words to put under them. But the rhythm of it is not given. So, for instance, and so they're very much like folk songs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a single line of music. For instance, one of them begins, troppo per del tempo di ben non tama. Or at least that's the rhythmic interpretation of it that we have decided to give it based on the word stress and based on music that comes a little later that is easier to read. So basically the music by itself it doesn't tell you. It, you could sing it troppo per il tempo chi ben non tama if you wanted to make it say more like Gregorian chant. But we felt it needed to be more dance-like.
Yeah, I mean, this is Christmas music, right? So
yeah, and it's
be
an
little,
Italian,
you know,
vernacular
little,
music.
Get a little backbeat going.
Yeah, we wanted the music to reflect the same spirit, the same joyous and Mediterranean spirit that we find in the poetry. So the rhythms are somewhat conjectures, but that's
part of your job as early music performers.
Absolutely.
I mean, all
when
early
you're
music
dealing
groups
with music
have
from
to
this
do
period,
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. There seems to be a lot in common these days between early music singers and contemporary music singers.
Yes.
And you guys have done both ends of the spectrum.
Yes.
Why is there that kind of easy connection between music from so long ago and music that's so new?
One thing that we've found is that contemporary composers from the classical tradition are very attracted to the kinds of music that we're interested in. They're very interested in the medieval techniques of music, and to be able to find a group like ours that's our daily work, they've been attracted to write things for us, and it's been a great pleasure for us.
So you've worked with Julia Wolf here in New York.
Yes.
With Phil Klein on a 21st century mass that has this kind of echo of the medieval in it.
A piece commissioned by WNYC, as a matter of fact.
That's right.
For us and for the
string quartet Ethel.
Yes.
And we can hear both of them in this excerpt from the mass John the Revelator by Phil Klein. The group is Lionheart.
He has closed my eyes.
Just an excerpt from Phil Klein's 21st Century Mass called John the Revelator, written for the group Lionheart and the string quartet Ethel, actually a WNYC commission, as Rick Porterfield of Lionheart pointed out. And Rick and the rest of the sextet, Lionheart, performing this Christmas in Medieval Italy program tonight at the Met Museum's Medieval Sculpture Hall. So you'll be right there in front of the crash and the Christmas tree.
Yes,
and
we will.
At 6:30 and again at 8:30, and featuring some of these older works going back to the 13th century. And then as you head into 2009, are you going into the future or do you go back into the past? What does the group do?
Coming up?
Yeah.
Well, we're very much looking forward to the release of Phil Klein's John the Revelator, which Phil tells me is scheduled for March the 1st. And
we're holding our breath.
Yes, we've been waiting. We recorded it a while ago, and these things happen sometimes. It's a recording that we're quite pleased with.
Is it harder to work with a composer who's actually alive and can say, no, I don't like that? You have to.
Yes, the dead ones are much easier to get along with. Although you can't really ask them, what did you really mean here?
Right.
You can, but you can't expect a straight answer. You don't always get a straight answer from a living composer also. Very often the living composer will say, oh, we'll try it that other way too.
So the new year will bring a new recording of this, you know, recent piece by Phil Klein.
Yes, indeed.
But continuing to look backwards as well, these Laude. It seems like, you know, there's a composer, Gavin Bryars in the UK, who's writing Laude these days.
Yes,
so the tradition continues.
It is a continuing tradition. And so, yes, I would expect there will be 21st and 22nd century Laude as well.
All right. Now, you mentioned this monk, Innocentia Dominus?
Dominus, I believe, yes.
And we have a little bit of his piece, O Jesu Dulce, to wrap up with. This is also on the program tonight at the Met Museum?
Yes, this will also be on the program at the Met.
Okay. The program is called Il Laudaria di Cortona, although, as you said, this guy's from a couple of centuries later, so...
Yes, so the program is about the Laudario and the wonderful tradition that springs from it.
Okay, and what is that tradition that springs from it?
The Lauda tradition.
But I mean, do we have anything like that here? Do we have anything similar, here in the States?
Yes, indeed. Christmas carols and other things.
So this isn't like the circus barker standing outside the tent saying, hey, come on in, we got bearded ladies and all that kind of... I mean, weren't these sort of commercials as well? People would sing the Lauda outside the church and...
They were devotional exercises for societies that would take their devotion outside the liturgy of the church and get together. It was sort of something between a church and a country club.
Mm. All right. Well, here's a little bit from this otherwise unknown Venetian monk named Dominis, O Jesu Dulce, sung by the group Lionheart. Richard Porterfield is one of the founding members of the Early Music Vocal Sextet and my guest here in the studio. Rick, have a great time tonight at the Met Museum. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John. It's always a pleasure.
And that'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow, the editor of BBC Music Magazine joins us to reveal the results of a poll on the world's best Christmas carols. And cellist Yo-Yo Ma shares his new CD called Songs of Joy and Peace. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. The program produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatow, and we had help today from Caitlin Miller. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for the next Soundcheck here at 93.9 FM WNYC.